So, this autumn, we're going to be looking for divine direction. That's the name of this first series. And last week, Josh started off by looking at the power to become. He was talking about the importance of who before do and why before what. God loves us. God loves me. God loves you. And it doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. Doesn't matter what you do or don't do, what decisions you take or don't take, what directions you follow or don't follow, God loves you. Paul makes that clear in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Who before do? Why before what? God's love is for us, not for what we do. But that said, it does still matter what we do. We are still called to love God and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Micah 6 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So while it is who before do and why before what, it does still matter what we do. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of the time, I don't know what to do. I want to do the right thing if just I could work out what that is. Should I stick in my current job? Or should I be looking for something different? Should we be spending money on doing up the house or going away on holiday? At what age should we let our boys have smartphones? Should I go out for a walk to do something about this? Or should I stay at home and spend time with my boys? Whether it's the big things or the small everyday things, I just want to know, what does God want me to do? Yes, I admit I'm not perfect, and there are times when I know what he wants me to do, and I still don't necessarily always do it. But a lot of the time, that's not the problem. The main problem is I just don't know what God wants me to do. I'm sure I can't be alone in having prayed something along the lines of, "God, I know you are the King of creation. I know nothing is beyond you. I know you calmed the seas of Galilee when Jesus was in the boat. You can do whatever you want. So just take the clouds and make them spell out the words to tell me what it is you want me to do." But he doesn't work like that. As much as we might want him to at times, he doesn't do that. He loves us so much that he gives us the freedom to decide for ourselves. Of course, we have the Bible to help us know what to do. And it is a big book, 780,000 plus words in here. Lots of instructions, lots of guidance. But it doesn't tell us exactly what to do every day of our lives. If you think about it, with over 7 billion people on the planet, to give every single one of them direct instructions for every single choice they make every day of their life, it would have to be an awful lot bigger than this. The Bible does help us, but we need to know how to use it. The story is told of a man who turned to the Bible looking for instructions. He wanted to know what God was calling him to do. And so he opened the Bible at random and looked to see what words God had for him. And it fell open at Matthew 27, verse 25. "So Judas threw money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." And he thought, well, Maybe God's trying to tell me I need to throw money in the temple. Maybe God's telling me I need to give more to the church. Maybe that's what it is. But I better check. So he prayed a bit more and then he opened the Bible again. This time it opened at Mark 9, verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung round their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Oh dear, he thought. Maybe it wasn't that first bit of the first verse. It was the second bit about being hanged. What can this mean? So he prayed some more and opened his Bible again. This time it fell open at Luke 10, and he looked down at verse 37. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This really wasn't what he wanted. I know, he thought, I'll look in the Old Testament, see if that makes a difference. So he turned to the front of his Bible. And this time it fell open at 1 Samuel 20, verse 38. Then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, go do it, don't stop. Don't think that I'm saying the Bible doesn't help us. There are times when we can open the Bible and it does speak to us. But it doesn't work like that. It's not an instruction manual like you might get with an electrical good. There are things in the Bible which are clearly stated. It tells us, worship God, love your neighbour. Those things are good. It also tells us, killing and stealing. Those things are bad. But it doesn't give us day-by-day instructions. That's not how it works. Because God gives us the freedom to decide for ourselves. So often, we don't know what to do. We don't know what God is asking of us. And we're not alone in this. If anyone should know what God was calling him to, you'd think St. Paul would be at the top of the list. Here was a man who planted churches all over the empire, who wrote most of the New Testament. Surely he knew what God was calling him to. But if we read 1 Corinthians 16, we find Paul saying, perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. Perhaps, he says, for a while, unspecified, wherever, unknown, if the Lord permits, who knows? And if Paul doesn't know what God's directing him to, what chance do we stand? But we do. If we turn back to the Bible and to Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 9, we read, get wisdom and get understanding. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Stay close to wisdom, and she will keep you safe. Love her and she will watch over you. To start being wise, you must first get wisdom, no matter what it costs. Get understanding. Value wisdom highly, and she will lift you up. Hold her close and she will honour you. She will set a beautiful crown on your head. She will give you a glorious crown. So the Bible is quite clear. What we need is wisdom, no matter what it costs. And this morning, I'm going to look briefly at three words that I hope will help us to gain this wisdom. Ask, decide, and walk. So the first of these is ask. If we turn to today's reading about Solomon, we find Solomon had just been made king. David, his father, had been king for 40 years. He'd conquered Jerusalem and established it as his capital. The family that had become a tribe, that had become a nation, had now become a kingdom. But that didn't mean everything was going well. Everything was running smoothly. They were still battling against neighboring nations. He was facing threats from without and from within, not just within his nation, even within his own family. One of his sons declared himself king in rebellion against him. Things were not going smoothly. And for Solomon, as he took over, things he knew wouldn't go smoothly either. David had had many wives and concubines who had had many sons who all wanted to be king. And we know that after the time of Solomon, very shortly after the time of Solomon, the nation would split in two, with the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah going in different directions with different kings. This was a time of terrible wars and factions and tensions and fighting. But rather than ask for wealth or long life or power and victory over his enemies, Solomon made the wisest decision of all in asking for wisdom. Now, we may not be directly approached by God in the way that Solomon was in a dream and asked what we want. But we can ask for wisdom just as much. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. The door will be opened to the one who knocks." Suppose your son asks for bread. Which of you will give him a stone? Or suppose he asks for a fish. Which of you will give him a snake? And yet, even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants us to do the right thing. It's partly why he sent Jesus to model how we should live our lives. It's why he gave us the Bible to teach us how we should live. He wants us to do the right thing. He's chosen not to tell us, but to give us wisdom. And in the same way that parents want to give gifts, he wants to give us that gift of wisdom if we will just ask him. We read again in James 1 verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So we just need to ask. But the key is we need to ask for wisdom rather than ask for the answer. Because that is how God works. He loves us. He's given us the freedom to choose. And so if we ask him for wisdom, he will help us to make those choices. Which leads me to my second word, decide. We do need to decide. We need to make a decision rather than just procrastinate. In 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul tells us, "We decided to stay alone in Athens and we sent Timothy to visit you." Not God told us to stay in Athens. We decided to stay in Athens. He just made that decision. Some of you may remember the film The Karate Kid. In The Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi, the wise teacher, turns to his indecisive student and says, and I'm resisting the temptation to try and do the accent, He says, Daniel-san, must talk. Walk on road. Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle. Sooner or later, get squished like grape. Because the thing is, if we don't decide to walk right or walk left, we have, by default, chosen to stay in the middle. To make no decision is a decision in itself. But we want to get the decision right. What happens if we get the decision wrong? In the new year, Caleb is going to have to make his selections for his GCE options. It's that time already, my baby has grown. It's a big moment for him, and Esther and I would really like to help him make those choices. We have our own opinions about what his strengths and weaknesses are and what he likes and doesn't like. But we're trying to resist that temptation. Caleb hasn't got any firm ideas about what it is he wants to do, so I can probably persuade him. But I'm trying not to do that. Yes, I will be there for him. I will talk to him and discuss it with him. I will even advise him if he asks. But I want it to be his decision. I want him to make that choice for himself. We do have house rules. There are some things he must do, like empty the dishwasher, and some things he mustn't do, like eat my chocolate. But when it comes to selecting his options, I want to give him the freedom to make those choices for himself. And God is like that with us. Yes, there are some things that we must do. We must worship God and love our neighbours. There are some things that we mustn't do, killing and stealing. But God loves us and wants to give us the freedom to choose. Psalm 32 says, I will guide you and teach you the way you should go. I will give you good advice and then watch over you with love. Sometimes there are better choices. Choices he would prefer us to make. And if we ask him, he will guide us and teach us and watch over us with love. But he gives us the wisdom to decide for ourselves. And if we make the right choices, we can learn from that experience. But what if we make the wrong choices? Well, there are three things to remember. The first is Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. When Judas chose to betray Jesus, he was not acting wisely. But ultimately, God was able to take this wrong choice and use it for his purpose. If we do make wrong choices, and chances are we will, then God can still work with them. There is nothing you can do that is so big that God can't get round it. God can still use your choices, even if you get them wrong. The second thing to remember is that we are forgiven. As I started by saying, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We get it wrong. We're forgiven, The slate is wiped clean and we can start again. And three, we will grow in wisdom from our wrong choices just as much and possibly more than from our right choices. We learn from our mistakes. We gain wisdom. We do better in the future. So we should ask God and then decide. The third word, though, is walk. Otto von Bismarck, the late 19th century German Chancellor, said, "Only a fool learns from his mistakes. Only a fool learns from his mistakes. The wise man learns from other people's." Yes, we can make mistakes and we can learn from them, but it's so much better if we don't make the mistakes in the first place. It's so much better if we learn from other people without having to make those mistakes. If we go back to the book of Proverbs, which is part of the books of wisdom along with Ecclesiastes and Job, so it's obviously a good place to go, we find chapter 13, verse 20. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." It doesn't say, go to the wise and ask them what to do. It isn't about a quick fix. It isn't about being given a one-off. It's about an ongoing process. Walk with the wise. I'm sure most of you will have heard the phrase, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And it's that kind of principle. Yes, if somebody tells you what to do in a specific situation, that may be wise, it may be right. It solves the problem there and then. But it doesn't help you the next time you don't know what to do. And the wise person isn't there to help you. So walk with the wise. Also, it says walk with the wise, plural. Not just walk with someone wise, singular. Different people do things differently. And you can learn from lots of different people, lots of different things, some of which may work for you, some of which may not work for you. The more wise people you walk with, the more you will learn. We've heard about the pop-up home groups coming. Perfect opportunity to walk with some wise people and to learn what God wants. To learn how wise people make decisions and try it out for ourselves. So we should ask, decide, and walk. One final thought before I finish. If I look round the congregation this morning, I can see wise people before me. That's great for me because I can see people I can go and walk with and learn from. And I can see people that you can go to and walk with and learn from. But what about them? By definition, somebody must be the wisest person here. What do they do? Well, one, we can all keep on learning. This is an ongoing process, and by walking with other wise people, they can share and learn off each other. But two, hopefully, they can look for opportunities to share the wisdom that they have gained with lesser folk like me. For me to learn from their wisdom, they need to share their wisdom with me. So look for opportunities to share with other people. God loves us so much that he has given us this amazing freedom He hasn't turned us into robots without choices. He's given us that freedom to choose how we live. But he also wants to give us his wisdom to make the right choices. If we will turn to him and ask, if we will make decisions and learn, if we will walk with others and grow, he will give us that wisdom to make the right choices. What will you decide? Amen.